Amen. Matthew 8. Matthew chapter 8. I'm going to start in verse 28. Matthew 8, verse 28. Stand with me if you would, please. Begin reading there, verse 28. We'll read through the end of the chapter. It says here, when he was come to the other side, into the country of the Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. But, amen, they weren't dealing with a man, were they? Amen. They weren't dealing with just any old man. In verse 29, behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them a herd of many swine feeding. Even the pigs were staying away from these guys. Amen. So the devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us, or allow us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine. And behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything. Oh boy, tattletales. And what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. Now, I'll talk about that in a minute. But they went... And they went and they told everybody what had happened to these two beasts, these two possessed with the devils. Behold, in verse 34, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. Now, you would think, hey, we're about to have revival. We're about to have the best church service we ever had. Everybody's heard Jesus is here. Everybody's heard Jesus is working miracles again. Everybody's heard Jesus is right here, and we can just go out and meet him. And they did. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coast. Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you tonight. Lord, this is not my message. Lord, this is your word. This is your precious church, your flock. These are your people, Father. I'm nothing more than a servant that somehow, Lord God, for some reason you've chosen me, Lord God, to preach this book and to be a help and a blessing and feed your flock. Help me tonight, Lord. I just want to love on Jesus a little bit. Lord, I know that this world and so many of even of your own children, Lord God, they have turned their back. They have despised and rejected my Jesus. And Lord, all they want is for him to go away. God, I come to you tonight. Lord, there's a few people here gathered here, a remnant here tonight, Lord, that don't want Jesus to depart. God, they don't want Jesus to go away. Lord, help us tonight. May we feast on your living word. May we be filled with your living water. May we hunger and thirst for righteousness, Lord, here. And I pray, God, that we would open our mouth and you would fill it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Jesus had a couple of busy days. He always had a busy day. Amen. He was never wasting time. He can't go against his own word. The Bible says redeeming the time. Amen. The days are evil. And so he only had a certain amount of time to do what was needed to be done, but In chapters 5 through 7 of this same book of Matthew, he preaches the Sermon on the Mount, and he teaches and preaches his disciples and about the kingdom and many different things that still today, amen, have confounded the wise, have made things hard to understand, and just left people really speechless. At the end of that sermon, they said, this man speaks with authority, not as the scribes. I mean, they were left speechless. They could not argue. They could not say anything against it. Jesus simply told them what was true. He told them what God's will was for their lives. He preached the Sermon on the Mount. One of these days, I'll go through that, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. But quite frankly, I'm just not there yet. It's not. I don't think it's God's will right now. But there's so much teaching in there, reading and studying, and more for the rest of your, at least the rest of this year anyway. But it's God's will, amen, that we live a certain way in this world. It's God's will that we behave ourselves in a certain way. It's in the Sermon on the Mount that God talks about how to pray, amen, in your secret place, how to fast and not as others, and how to give alms and how to forgive and all the judge not and all of those things, so many different teachings and lessons, and he preached that sermon there. But then in the beginning of this chapter 8, look there in verse 1 with me, chapter 8, the beginning of this chapter, he was come down from the mountain. So he finished up that Sermon on the Mount, and then he's coming down from the mountain. Notice, great multitudes followed him. In other words, they had heard him preach. They had heard him speak, and with such authority, they were astonished, the Bible says, at his doctrine, and they wanted to hear more. They followed him, and they were just surrounding him, and he's now being followed by the ones who had heard his message. And then in verse 2 of chapter 8, there comes a leper. The leper falls down. The Bible says doesn't fall down, but he worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou can make me clean." Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, "I will, be thou clean." And immediately, amen, Jesus works in the immediate zone, amen, in the immediate realm of power and glory. Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. You understand? Leprosy in the Bible is always a type of sin, always a type of sin, incurable disease. Nobody can do anything about it. There's still leper colonies today. Jesus saith in verse 4 unto him, "See thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." He said, "I want you to go back and use this now and tell those priests that Jesus healed you. Give them the gift that Moses commanded you. Be a testimony for me now that I've cleansed you." Amen? Hold on to that right there. Be a testimony for me, Jesus says, now that I've cleansed you from that leprosy. Now that God's cleansed us from our sin, amen? We need to be a testimony. We need to go. G-O. Look what he says. Go thy way. You can't stay here all day, amen. We're going to have to go out of this place here in a little while, and we're going to have to be a testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ that he's cleansed our leprosy, amen. He's made us whole. In verse number 5 then, so he heals the leper, but then he's confronted in verse 5. He entered into Capernaum. There came unto him a centurion. Now this is a Roman soldier who's the captain over 100 Roman soldiers. He's a Roman guard, a captain, if you will. He's leader. He's a high-ranking official. He says in verse 6, "Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented." So he said, "Lord, there's a man in my life that I care deeply about. He's just my servant, but he's sick and he's grievously tormented with this palsy." Palsy is a debilitating, crippling disease which makes your limbs, it's just terrible. And says, Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." Look in verse 8. The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy, amen, that thou shouldest come under my roof." Boy, what a humble man this was. What a humble spirit this man had. I want you to notice the humility in the leper was very similar to the humility here in this centurion. He says, "Lord, you can't come to my house." Amen. I don't know. Maybe his house wasn't clean. I don't think that was the matter. I don't think that was the case at all. I think he simply knew this is the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Speak. Look in verse 8. I love this. "Speak the word. Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Folks, listen to me. That's what we need.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
We need God's word to speak to us.
Yes.
Amen. I'm not talking about reading it off of a page or hearing it from my mouth. Amen. I'm talking about you hearing from God. There is so much healing power in the word of God when it comes from God himself.
Yeah.
Jesus said, he said in verse 9, the man still talking to Jesus, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. Now, what is he talking about? Jesus heard it and marveled and said to him, verily I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. What does he mean? He's saying, Jesus, I know who you are. I know you come with the authority of God Almighty. I know you're here serving the Heavenly Father. He says, I know you're not working on your own. He says, because I'm just like you. I'm a man under authority. Remember, he was a centurion. He had officers over him, but he also had men under him. And he had the authority then given to him by those over him to help those under him or to lead and guide those under him. And so what he was saying was, I know you're not just another man.
Right.
I know you're not just another preacher, teacher, prophet. I know you're somebody greater than that. And because I have authority, I know what your authority is coming from God. And remember, that's what they were astonished at in chapter 7, verse 29. He taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. So this man, the centurion said, I don't need you to come. I just need you to speak the word because I know your word has power, because I know your word is backed up by the authority of all of heaven.
Amen.
Hey, listen to me. I'm just going through this chapter tonight with you. I want you to see all that Jesus is going through before we get back over there to those two maniacs. He's going through all of this. He's humbly healing the leper. Then he's healing a centurion who's really, listen, look in verse 10 again. Jesus heard it and marveled. What's that mean? He was blessed. Jesus was blessed by this man's faith. Understand something. Jesus marveled and he said, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. Look at verse 11. I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But he said, but the children of the kingdom, the Jews, the nation of Israel, shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, go thy way. And as thou hast, what, believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the self same hour. Folks, listen to me. I just want you to see Jesus is blessed by this man's faith. Jesus is glorified. He's honored. He marvels at this man's faith. He says, I've not found anybody with this kind of faith. My own people, the nation of Israel, don't have this faith. This was a Roman centurion. He knew God had opened this man's eyes to see. Listen to me tonight. As we go through this chapter, just let the Holy Spirit hit you where it needs to speak to you, where he needs to speak to you. But understand something. What makes Jesus different is that he was not just another man. He was not just another preacher, another prophet. He was God Almighty, sent from God in the spirit and power of God, and his word is all we need.
Amen.
So Jesus then, in verse 14, now he goes to his disciples' house, Peter. This is an interesting passage here. Verse 14. This is all the same day, y'all, right? It's all the same day. And he comes into Peter's house. He saw his wife's mother laid and sick of a fever. Now, who? What? Wait a minute. That's that Catholic Pope, right? That Peter, the first Catholic Pope of the, but wait a minute, he had a wife. A Pope has to be celibate. A Pope can't be married, amen? Right. A Pope can't ever have been married. So wait a minute, all of a sudden God's throwing that garbage out of the water, amen? Casting it far as away as the east is from the west, because God knew what was going to happen, amen? So he tells us Peter had his wife's mother. Peter had a mother-in-law, he had a wife, it says right there, amen? But she was sick. She had a fever. He touched her hand. The fever left her. She arose and ministered unto them. Amen. She was healed just like that. She rose up and began to serve the Lord. I'm telling you what, there's a lot of people need to get a hold of that right there. Amen. Yeah. When God heals us, we ought to want to serve him. Minister unto him. In verse 10, here it is again. When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits. Notice this next three words. With his word. There it is again. The power of this precious book that you have in your hand is the only power that Jesus used to cast out the spirits. Amen. If you go back to the end of the chapter, in verse 32, when he was dealing with the two maniacs, they said, please, if you're going to cast us out, let us go into the swine. He said one word. What does he say? He said, go.
Yep.
One word of God, one word has more power than all of the pits of hell. One word of God has all the power and more power than all the pits of hell. Amen. And so he cast out many of the spirits with his word, healed, verse 16, all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet. Now in verse 18. So he's healing a leper. He's healing a centurion's servant. He's healing Peter's mother-in-law. He's discouraging, and we're going to read on here, he's discouraging the devils. He's healing them, and he's casting them out of those that are possessed by them. So in Jesus, in verse 18, saw great multitudes about him. He gave commandment to depart to the other side. Now, wait a minute. A certain scribe now in verse 19. I don't know who this certain scribe was, but remember back at the end of chapter 7, it was the scribes, it was those Pharisees and men that were following him. They said, this man speaks with authority, not as the scribes. So now we have a scribe who comes to Jesus and says in verse 19, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Wow. So what's going on here is part of this multitude is seeing all the power that Jesus has. The multitude is seeing the healing of the leper, the healing of the centurion. I mean, they're watching Jesus do all of this. Remember, he had a multitude with him. They're watching him heal. They're watching him help. They're watching him do the work and preach the gospel and preach the Bible, and his word is healing and helping and casting out devils. And now this one, he gets excited. He says, I want to follow you, amen, whithersoever thou goest. And then that's okay. I think we ought to get a little more excited about God's power, y'all. I think we ought to get a little more excited. I think that ought to be our desire, don't you? I mean, come on. If we really believe what I just read in these last 17 verses, that ought to be our heart's desire. Lord, I just want to follow you. I mean, nobody else can do what I just saw in a few verses. Nobody else could possibly do what you just did. And they all, remember, the multitudes came down off that mountain, and they heard him preach all of that. They said, well, let's go see what he can do now we've heard him preach. And so they begin to see what he can do. They heard his word. They knew the word had authority and power. And now they're seeing what he can do with that word. Amen. He's preaching. No, he's not preaching anymore. Now he's working. He's doing the works, amen, that the Father sent him to do. He's healing people. He's casting out devils. And this scribe gets all fired up, amen. This scribe gets his heart filled with excitement. He says, Lord, our master, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Okay, Jesus should have been excited about that. Jesus said in verse 20, the foxes have holes, buddy. My buddy's not in there, but that, you know, I'm just making it more personal. The foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests. The Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Hey, folks, we never hear from that scribe again. You said, preacher, did he follow him or not? Don't look like it. What's the point of that? Why did Jesus say that? Jesus was discouraging someone who he knew wasn't going to make it. I don't know. I just think Jesus knows better. Okay. He knows who needs to go. He has a perfect will for our lives. And listen, if God wants you to go follow Jesus and be in full-time ministry, he'll make it happen. But Jesus knew this man was just excited about the temporary, you know, sort of kind of flash in the pan. He was excited. So he's discouraging this scribe. It's unusual. Well, I just want you to see all this before we get to the devils here. He says, and then he says another one in verse 21. Another of his disciples said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. What's he saying? He said, Lord, I'll go too. But first of all, let me go home and take care of my father. I got to go bury my dad. My dad just died. And the compassionate Savior, you would think, okay, that's fine. No big deal. That's perfect. It's all right. Look what he says. Jesus said to him, follow me. Let the dead bury the dead. Whoa. What? Let the dead bury their dead. Those who are spiritually dead, let them bury their dead. Let them take care of it. You follow me. Well, there's so much in here. I'm just going through this chapter because I feel like it's what the Lord wanted me to do tonight, okay? Let it lie where it may lie. But he said, you follow me. They'll take care of that. You follow me.
Amen.
You know, folks, if we're going to follow Jesus, I think what Jesus is trying to tell these two men, and it continues, is still true today, is that we're going to have to make some sacrifices. It's not going to be a bed of roses. It's not going to be a game, amen. It's not going to be fun all the time. It's not going to be laughing and ha-ha joy. It's going to be, look, there's going to be times where you may lack physical needs.
Right.
Jesus said, I don't even have a word to sleep tonight. That's what he said. I don't have a word to sleep tonight. You want to follow me? Okay, well, I don't know where we're sleeping tonight. And the other man said, well, I'll follow you, but let me go do this first. And he said, well, that's fine. You follow me. Let them take care of that. In other words, you know, you may have to leave the family behind.
Yeah.
Folks, I'm just telling you, Jesus is working. He's doing many different things in just a very few short hours. He's making a difference in people's lives. He's discouraging weak folks from following him. It's unusual, I know, but I just think that the Lord knew their hearts.
Yeah.
They were just excited about what they had seen. Listen to me. That's not the right reason to follow Jesus.
Right.
If that's the only reason you want to follow Jesus, you're not going to make it. I think that's what the Lord's trying to say.
Yeah,
what do you mean by that, preacher? What is the reason then? Okay, it's a relationship with Jesus.
Right.
Amen.
That's the reason we follow him.
Amen.
Is that big and exciting? Well, it is if you really understand what I just said.
Right.
Because there's going to be days where he's not going to do anything.
Uh-huh.
There's going to be days where you're not going to see him do anything. He's always working, but you may not see it. There's going to be days like where you're just going to have to go without physical needs. Maybe you can't get the best new shoes. Maybe you can't get the best suit in the world. Maybe you can't have the best haircut. You know, I'm just saying silly stuff like that. But there's going to be sacrifices required if we're really going to follow the Lord. But see, what Jesus is saying is not about what I'm doing. It's not about what you're seeing. It's not about all the exciting things that you're seeing me do. You need to follow me.
Yeah.
It's about me, bud. It's about me. That's what Jesus said. Oh, there's so much in here. He said, listen, it's not about, there's going to be days where you're going to suffer physical needs. There's going to be days where you're going to have to say goodbye to your family because they're dead. Spiritually. Dead. Now listen, Jesus is just, he is the truth. Okay? He doesn't just speak truth, he is the truth. Everything about it is truth. And he knows these men's hearts. And he's saying, guys, you're getting excited about what you're seeing here. Stop for a minute. Level off here a minute. Understand. You better understand, if you're going to follow me, it's because you're following me.
Amen.
Then Jesus, in verse 23, he was entered into a ship. His disciples followed him. Now they heard all of that. Right? They heard all of that. They heard all of that. And they behold, there arose a great tempest in the sea, insomuch the ship was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. He had a long day, remember? I mean, it took me, 20 minutes just to go through his day, just talking about his day. And there was a lot going on. The leper, the centurion, the scribe, the Peter's mother-in-law. Dear God, Peter's mother-in-law.
Amen. Come on,
I mean, come on, that took a while. Amen.
Yeah.
That took a lot out of him.
<I'm> just, Amen.
That was the... No, I better stop. But Peter's mother-in-law, then all kinds of devils being cast out. Then all of these people are... You know, he's having to turn them away because he knows they're not in it for the right reasons. Then he gets on the ship and he says, finally, I'm going to go to sleep. Aren't you glad that Jesus gets to rest? I mean, it's okay to rest, amen, dearly beloved. It's okay to sleep once in a while. It's okay, but just not while you're not supposed to. Not while you're working, amen. But anyway, after the long day, he goes in the ship and he goes to sleep. The Bible says here in verse, there was a great tempest in the sea, insomuch that the ship was covered with the waves. Verse 25, his disciples came to him, woke him, said, "Lord, save us! We perish." So now, after that long day, he's finally getting to rest. He's not worried about the storm, but his disciples are. He says, "Why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith?" He arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. I love that. I always have that in my Bible written out beside it years ago. I think I've already told you this, but maybe you didn't hear it then, or maybe you just want to hear it again. And see, sometimes in order for there to be a calm, there has to be rebuke first.
That's right.
Amen. God has to rebuke us first. He has to change. See, our hearts get all riled up, and we get all fussy about everything. Amen. Storms, and then Jesus has to rebuke us. And then there can be calm again, peace in our hearts. He said, O ye of little faith, why are you so fearful, O ye of little faith? Verse 27, the men marveled, saying, what manner of man is this? Even the winds and seas obey him.
Amen.
He spends the night in the ship in a storm. He calms the seas again with what? His word. There's a trend if you're paying attention here, amen. He told the leper. He told the leper, he says, I will. Thou canst. He said, I will be thou clean. That was it. That was all he did. He came and Jesus, the Capernaum centurion in Capernaum said, you don't just speak the word only. And you know what he did? That's what he did.
Amen.
He spoke the word only. And then the Bible says there, he touched her hand in verse 14. He did touch her hand, but he used his power to heal. The Bible tells us there in verse 16, he cast out spirits with his word. And again, he rebuked the seas and the waves. He even turned away the weak-kneed Christians that weren't going to make it because he knew what wasn't God's will with his word. Now, so he gets into the other side here. This is where we started again. He gets to the other side on the next day, the next morning. So he's had a long day and a long night. He comes to the other side into the country. Jesus has faced personal sickness, sorrow from the centurion, sickness in the family, insincere desire to follow him, little faith by his own disciples, a storm on the sea. In each case now, the people are clamoring for him. In every case, the people are seeking after him. In each case, the situation is completely fixed and all is well. Now, however, the next morning, he gets up on the other side. Let's call this, if you will, the dark side here for a minute. Jesus is facing something here even more serious than he faced all day yesterday. He was coming to the other side into the country, verse 28 of the Gergesenes. There met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs, exceeding fierce. No man might pass by that way. They were not coming out. They were not clamoring for him. They were not seeking after him. They were not looking for him to help them. As a matter of fact, they said, Son of God, art thou come hither to torment? He said, "Don't. I don't want your help. I don't need your help. They said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Jesus is facing some spiritual evil now in some possessed men. He's facing the source of all evil. Can I tell you something? The Bible says these men were possessed with devils.
Yeah.
In the Bible, in your King James Bible, the word demons is not used. The word devils is what we call demons today. All the devil is not the devil, Lucifer, but fallen angels. Fallen angels, devils. Okay, but they're just as much a man, just as evil as Lucifer himself. They're following Lucifer. They're angels that have fallen and following Lucifer. Now they're filling these people, these two men in this case, and they're exceeding fierce. They're angry. They're beside themselves. The Bible and other scriptures, it tells us that they were cutting themselves and they were running around and naked and making and just causing all kinds of causing all kinds of problems and creating havoc, amen, in that area. And they saw Jesus coming and they did not cry out for him. They did not want him to heal them. They were rebuking him. They did not want to see him, amen. So Jesus is staring down into their faces. Let me encourage us here tonight. I just want to do something if I can for a few minutes. This is the darkest place that Jesus had been all day and night. Understand something. Sooner or later, we're going to find our place in such a darkness, such a spirit of evil that it's going to not compare to anything we've ever seen.
Come on.
I want to encourage us tonight. Sometimes when we find ourselves on the other side, we find ourselves in a place that's so dark. Nobody wants Jesus.
Yeah.
Nobody is looking for Jesus. Nobody's asking for Jesus. As a matter of fact, they're rebuking Jesus himself. They're controlled by the devils of hell. Let me say something to you quickly. The devils are bent on destruction. Look in verse 30. Verse 30, there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. The devils besought him, saying, if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the swine. And he said, go. And they were come out. They went into the herd of swine. Behold, the whole herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. In another scripture, the Bible tells us there's about 2,000 of them. 2,000 hogs, pigs. Now, understand something, amen. All they wanted to do was destroy something. All they wanted to do was, as soon as they got into those hogs, those pigs, they destroyed them. Can I tell you something? They were working on destroying those two men. Yeah. That's all I'm trying to get you to see, first of all, is that the devil has nothing good. There's nothing good that he can offer. I don't think I need to spend a whole lot of time, but he's not done, amen, until he has destroyed you.
Right.
He's not done until he has completely... See, they saw those swine, and they said, hey, there's some prey over there. You say, well, preacher, well, why don't they just go to the swine themselves, amen? It's because they had... I'll get to that in a minute, but they would rather have you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The swine aren't a threat, amen. But if they can't have you, amen, they're going to get somebody or something. I'm just trying to get you to see tonight that the devil's not—he's not out there playing games, amen. He is bent, hell bent on destruction. They wanted to go into the swine so they could destroy them. The devil has one purpose in this life, and that is to devour, to destroy, to absolutely, to completely obliterate you and your life, your family, everything about God and His glory. They had not destroyed these humans, but they were working on it.
Right.
But understand something quickly. The devils knew who Jesus was. The devils knew who Jesus was. I'm getting somewhere here. Verse 29, behold, they cried out, saying, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? You didn't have to convince them who he was.
Right.
You did not have to. This came up earlier in the Bible study in there. Hey, notice they spoke Jesus' name.
Yeah.
Just like all of those rock and roll Christian rockers speaking Jesus' name. But they weren't glorifying him.
Right.
They weren't glorified. They knew who Jesus was. The devil knows. The devil believes. The devil trembles, amen. But I just want to encourage you tonight. When you come and you find yourself in the darkest hour, one thing you got to do is remember all that Jesus has already done. Amen? What Jesus has already done for you and for so many others in this life, you have to. When you find yourself facing maybe the darkest hour of your life, then you have to understand something. That yes, they want to destroy you, but understand something. They know who Jesus is. There's so much confusion, amen, about who Jesus is. There's so much confusion, but the devil knows who he is. The devil says, you're the Son of God, amen. I want you to understand. I'm just trying to get you to see something. They knew that this was not a common, ordinary man that they were up against. And when they saw him, they said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And I find this phrase interesting. Understand something. The devils know. They know their time is limited. They know their time is limited. It says here, before the time. They will be tormented one day. I'm just saying to you tonight, amen, the devils, the demons, all of the people that think that they're so they're going to overpower God. They think that they're stronger than God. They think that they're better and bigger than you are because, amen, they may have more in this world. They may have more in this life. But understand something, the evil forces behind all of that, their time is limited.
That's right, brother.
They have no way of ever escaping, amen. They know that. They said, art thou come to torment us? They didn't say that. They said, before the time.
Yeah.
They knew that there was a day coming, amen, and they still know today there's a day coming when their time will be up.
Yeah.
Their time will be over. Look with me in Jude chapter 6. Jude verse 6, I'm sorry. Jude verse 6. There's only one chapter. Amen. Jude verse 6. The devils knew who Jesus was. The devils knew their time was limited. In Jude verse 6, The angels, devils, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he, God, hath reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, under the judgment of the great day. Amen. There's coming a judgment, amen, of the great day. One day God is going to give all of those fallen angels, understand something, these fallen angels cannot be saved. They cannot be redeemed.
That's right.
That's why they did not cry out for mercy. That, you notice all the other people, when they finally humbled themselves, they cried out for mercy and healing and help, right? Yeah. But all of a sudden now we're facing a whole other enemy here. We're facing an evil spirit, a devil from hell, and he's not crying out for mercy because he can't be saved. Look in Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, verse 10. One of my favorite verses, amen, in the Bible, Revelation 20, verse 10. The devil that deceived them. How did those two men get so bad? How did those two men there that were extremely fierce, the Bible says, cutting themselves, living in the graveyard, living in the tomb, they were deceived. The devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be, what's that word? Tormented day and night forever and ever. You know what? The devil knows that verse. That's why they said over there in Matthew chapter 8, he said, art thou come to torment us? The same verse, the same word, art thou come to torment us before the time? They said, I know our time's coming. I know our day's coming over there in Revelation. Amen. The Bible, Jesus, I mean, the devils know the Bible.
Right.
Yeah. They know what's coming down for them. And you and I, just trying to get you to see something here tonight. Jesus showed up. The devils all of a sudden realized, I've met my match. I have nothing I can do here. This is Jesus. This is the Son of God. Amen. Go back to Matthew 8 now. They were exceeding fierce. No man could pass by that way in verse 28. Nobody could handle them. The Bible says in Mark chapter 5 that they tried to bind these men with chains, and they broke free from their strength was supernatural. Their evil was unbearable, extremely, exceeding fierce. But they said, all of a sudden they realized, this is no mere mortal, amen. We are staring face to face with Jesus Christ. And they simply, instead of crying out for mercy, because they could not have mercy, they just complained. They said, aren't you here to torture us, torment us before the time? They knew their time was limited. I like the fact, hey, we just need to get a hold of that.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. We need to get a hold. We're not. We cannot lose.
Right.
Jesus cannot lose.
Amen.
Jesus will not lose.
Amen.
No matter how dark it is, no matter how
Amen.
Fierce the battle rages, Jesus is not going to lose.
Amen.
I mean, these two men, they were. Listen, I don't know how long they were like this, but obviously it'd been a while. They were pretty bad.
Right.
And no doubt, they had come to a place where they thought, "This, I'm never going to get out of this. This is hopeless." But see, the day that Jesus showed up, they realized those devils that were brewing. By the way, it's our battle is not against men and women; it's against the spiritual wickedness in high places. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There's people in your life that may seem exceeding fierce. There's people in your life that may seem like they're just the most wicked people you could ever imagine. And sometimes maybe you just have to be around them. Understand something today, though. They know who Jesus is. That devil knows who Jesus is. His time is limited. Understand something. And they cannot overcome, cannot overpower our Lord.
Amen.
You know what we need to do, folks? Those people that are so evil, that are so extremely ungodly, we have to just remind them, hey, Jesus is the Son of God. We have to speak the word of God to them. We have to let them know, hey, I'm not alone in this battle. Amen. By the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I am saved by the grace of God. I'm redeemed. Christ lives in me. Amen. I'm sealed by His Spirit until the day of redemption. I have no reason to fear you. I don't have to worry about you. Listen, you know that Jesus is real. It doesn't matter what they say. They know that Jesus is the Son of God. They know that their time is limited. I want you to understand something. This is interesting too. The devils can do nothing without Jesus' permission. Look at verse 31 again. The devils besought him. if thou cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, go. What do you mean by that, preacher? This is good stuff, amen. The devils couldn't even kill some pigs without Jesus' permission. They couldn't even kill some pigs without Jesus' permission. They knew that Jesus was going to overpower them. They knew that they had. They didn't even say, "Oh, please let us stay. If thou cast us out, just please let us go into those swine over there." All I'm getting to say is that Jesus has the power. The devil knows his time is limited, and they can't do anything without his permission. So let's think about this now as we close tonight. All of that he went through, people clamoring, healing, people wanting to follow him. Boy, he's at the night on the sea, but then he meets this evil beyond our wildest dreams.
Yeah.
The last person you want to run into, amen.
Amen.
And it was nothing for Jesus.
Right.
Amen. It was nothing. It was one word, Brother Chris.
Go.
Go.
Amen.
He didn't even say, get out. He said, go.
Amen.
Go. You know, one day when the Bible says, amen, that the devil, like I just read it to you, is going to be cast
amen.
Into the lake of fire.
Amen.
God's not going to have to lift a finger. Mm-hmm. Get. Go.
Yep.
It's going to be gone.
That's right.
When Jesus says go, amen, the devil's going to be gone.
Amen.
We have a Savior in heaven, amen, who knows where we're at. He has been there. He has been there when people were sick. He has been there when people were hurting. He has been there when our faith was weak. He's been there when the storm is raging. He's been there, listen to me, when you're in your darkest hour of your life. But he has full control over it all.
Amen. Hallelujah.
And, listen, and he has the word. We have it right here in our hands.
Yes, sir.
Speak the word only, that centurion said. Just speak the word only. There are so many days. Maybe you know where I'm been. Maybe you know where I'm at as far as just your own personal experience. But there's so many days. Just ask God, Lord, just speak the word only. Just let me know what you want me to do. I'm not trying to resist you. I'm not trying to get away from your will. You just tell me exactly what you want me to do. Lord, just speak the word only. And boy, when he does, there's such a power. There's such a peace. There's such an amazing victory when you do what he says, amen, and when you hear that precious word. There's nothing in this world, doesn't matter where you're at. You may find yourself in one of those positions, but it doesn't matter where you're at. The worst, darkest hour, the deepest, darkest evil, the devil knows who Jesus is, and he's right here in me. I'm not facing this battle on my own. He knows who Jesus is. He knows his time is limited, though. Listen to me. So he's going to be busy.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Right. But understand something. He can't do anything. He can't even kill a bunch of pigs.
That's right. Hallelujah.
Without Jesus' permission. Amen. Let's bow for prayer. Father, Lord, we